So Jeremiah looked around him and he said, I've been at this for 23 years. And I'm tired. The first chapter of Jeremiah talks about that when he was a youth, the Lord came and said to a young man, you're going to be my prophet. And in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, that righteous boy king, Jeremiah's voice began to echo and throughout all of Jerusalem and even beyond that area, but especially in that city. And he stood and he proclaimed the word of God. And the Lord says, it's not going to be easy. In fact, there's one chapter in Jeremiah where the Lord says, they will not listen, they will not listen, they will not listen. And Jeremiah stood there and just kept right on preaching. He kept right on preaching. There was that time in the book of Jeremiah, whenever while he was preaching, the religious leaders came and said to the mob, this man is worthy of death. Let's put him to death. We don't like his preaching. Would it surprise you that in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah said, Lord, you deceived me. You're stronger than I am. I feel so weak at a time like this. You are so much stronger than I am. I'm just weak. And I quit. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm paraphrasing what he says. I'm just ready to stop. You've been there? Not necessarily preaching. But have there been those times in your life, and have there been those situations in your life whenever you were trying to live right and you just got tired? Jeremiah said, I quit. I just... It's just too hard. And Jeremiah said, I shut down, but his word was in my heart, and that's why Jeremiah was able to sustain all that he did for all of that time in that period of his life. And Jeremiah said, that word that was in my heart was like a burning coal, like a piece of fire. It was in my bosom. And I just could not stop. Have you been there? Have you been at that time in your life whenever you lost that joy that you once had as a child of God? Have you been at that time in your life whenever you could look back at the way it used to be? I'm sure when Jeremiah came to this young man, I'm not sure how old he was. Would you put him in his teens, late teens? A youth in that day and age could have been evidently perhaps even younger than that. And God comes and says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you're going to be my man. And there was that time whenever the message of the Lord came to Jeremiah, like all of us. When we've heard the message of God, there's been that time in our lives whenever there was that joy and that burning fire. You remember those days, do you not? I want you to go with me in a journey through the book of Acts. We'll not be able to look at all of the book of Acts. But I want you to go with me on a journey in the book of Acts. You get to chapter 1, and there is Peter there, and they're trying to serve the Lord, and they don't really understand the nature of the kingdom. And so they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, we've been out preaching. We've been going from city to city on a limited commission saying that the kingdom is at hand. And Lord, is this the time? Have we arrived at the place? Is this the place when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? How far removed he was from understanding. They were from understanding what the kingdom was even like. They're still looking evidently at some sort of earthly kingdom that's centered around Israel and not around all mankind. But standing there is Peter. Peter, tell me about the flame of faith that's burning inside of you. Peter had that fire, did he not? Who do men say that I am? And isn't it ironic that one of the individuals they said that Jesus was Jeremiah. study the book of Jeremiah, and you'll have a better understanding as to why they would say that Jesus was like Jeremiah. You study that book, and there's so many attributes in the book of Jeremiah about that parallel, the very life and the very nature and the very teaching of Jesus. They think you're Jeremiah. Who do you say that I am? You know who answered. There is that burning conviction within the heart of Peter that says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas. Imagine the Lord looking at you and saying, Blessed are you for what you've said and for what you've done. You are blessed because of all of this. And flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but it's my Father that's in heaven. You have an understanding that this nation does not have. Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, raised from the dead, or one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? And Peter is there, and hear that fire that comes out of his bosom that said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did not you say that one time in your life? You remember the day before you were, or the hours before you were baptized, somebody said, And do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And coming out of your heart was, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Lord said to Peter, Blessed are you, Peter. And the Lord could look at us and say that very same thing whenever we made that confession. Blessed are you. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That was a time when Jesus could have been terribly discouraged. For John chapter 6 says, that verse 60, that this is a hard saying, who will hear it? Jesus did not change his preaching. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. John 6:66. And Jesus turned and he said to the apostle, You guys going to leave too? Will you also go away? And it's Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's Peter. That's Peter. And when it's in the upper room, Jesus begins to talk about this night, some one of you will betray me. This very time, the time is here. It's Peter who stands and says, Lord, though all men are offended at you, I will not be offended at you. There is that burning fire. You've had that, and I hope that you have it often in your life. I'll die for what I believe. Hours later, they're in Gethsemane. They've gone beyond Gethsemane. And Peter is cursing and swearing and saying, I don't even know the man. And three times he said it. Where's the fire, Peter? I've let him down. I've let him down. And it's on Pentecost that it's Peter's sermon that we have recorded there. Those lips that had said, I never knew the man. I'm cursing and swearing. I don't even know this man. The resurrection story 3 days later. Tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. You know how sweet it is to know that the Lord looked at that individual who could have been filled with guilt and filled with depression, and his soul is broken almost, and his spirit is broken. And the Lord looked at him and said, Tell Peter, I want Peter. Does the Lord want you? Is that fire that is burning within you? Is it that fire that is burning with you? Can you imagine the joy that Peter had when he went to Galilee? Can you imagine all that transpired in those 40 days when they were at the feet of Jesus and he ascends into heaven, and it's Peter who stands up and he says, this Jesus that you have crucified, God has made him Lord in Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? It's Peter who is the mouthpiece. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom, Peter. And he unlocks the door. Repent and God and be baptized, and God will forgive you of all of your sins. That fire is rekindled. That's really what this whole lectureship is about. It's to help each one of us that in our lives There is a fire that burns within us, and there may be those times when we get disappointed in ourselves. And if we have time tonight, we'll talk about some of those times. But I want you to know that wherever you are in your spiritual relationship to God, wherever you are this night, we can rekindle that fire with God's help. Each of us can. Repent and be baptized, and God will wash away your sins. And the crucifiers that day, listen to the verse. Verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those that gladly received the word. Peter, tell me about that fire. Tell me about that fire. Can you imagine the joy there was in Jerusalem? Can you imagine the joy there was when that day 3,000 people were baptized? What's the most people you've ever seen baptized in a day? 3,000 in one day. And imagine the joy that is there. And the Bible says in verse 46 that they were going from house to house and they ate their food with gladness. There's the fire, brethren. There's that fellowship there is in the kingdom of God. I'm a part of the eternal plan of God, and God is using me. And if you want to have that fire burning within you tonight, understand that from all eternity, it pleased God through the foolishness of the preaching to save the world, and He's committed unto us the work and the word of reconciliation so that we stand in the very place Jesus would stand if He were on this earth saying to mankind, be reconciled to God. And imagine the joy there is when people respond, and the fellowship of that joy. You want to rekindle the fire? Then look around you. Look around you and see what's happening. You see the body of Christ growing. Look around you and see the unity there is in the body of Jesus Christ. And they ate their food with gladness of heart. The church undergoes persecution, and they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. But they were there praying, and they were praying, Lord, give us boldness that we might speak these things. And God heard their prayers, and God answered their prayers with an earthquake. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been in that church service and somebody is leading that prayer? And God, who has a special relationship to earthquakes throughout all of the Bible, it's at Mount Sinai that there's the earthquake. It's at the resurrection of Jesus that there's earthquakes. There are earthquakes that came from God in reference to judgment. And there they are praying, and all of a sudden the building, the house where they are, begins to shake. God's hearing us when we're praying. And so the verse says, and with boldness they spake it. The Bible talks about the fact, chapter 5, verse 14, that the believers, both male and female, men and women, were increasingly added to that number. And how about when you get to chapter 6, whenever there is that joy in the kingdom of God, whenever the word is being proclaimed and Stephen is in the forefront of proclaiming that message, and a great company of priests obeyed the gospel. Can you imagine what that was like? Here's Judaism. And all of a sudden here are those who are at the forefront of Judaism, and they obey the gospel. You want to have that fire inside of you? Then understand the joy whenever one individual is delivered from sin and you've been a part of doing that very type of thing. It's only whenever you turn your eyes in the other direction that you fail to see the joy of that. In Acts chapter 8, there is that great persecution, and Philip goes up and he starts preaching this message. You want to hear the joy when the Bible says, and there in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. What's happening? Burning within the hearts of those individuals who've been delivered from sin, and the joy that's within the hearts of those who are teaching them, there is that burning fire. Rekindle that fire in me, God. Rekindle that fire. The latter part of Acts chapter 8, there is that Ethiopian eunuch. And when the Holy Spirit of God picks up Philip and snatches him away, the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. Imagine the fire that's burning in the heart of that eunuch when it gets down to Ethiopia and they'd say, tell us about your journey. And he takes that scroll of Isaiah and says, here it is.
You want to have the joy that they had? Then learn how to use the Scriptures to get out there and to teach other individuals of the joy that you have and the joy that they can have all the way through the book of Acts. We don't have time to look at it in my notes. When I got to at this point in my notes, I put et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a book of joy from hearts that are aflame. But you see, that fire is ours, and we had it, and hopefully we still have it tonight. But that fire can diminish. We get tired. There may be all kinds of reasons for that. It may be that we get tired because we didn't know how long the journey was. It would be so much better if the Christian race were a 100-yard dash and not a marathon. There was a time when I thought the greatest faith there is for that individual to be a martyr, for that individual to stand there before the firing squad or before some individual's ready to put them to death and say, "Do you believe with your heart that Jesus is the Son of God?" Knowing that if they said yes, there'll be instant death. And one time in my life I thought, that is the greatest manifestation of faith and courage and devotion to God. I'm not on that page anymore. Let me tell you what that is. It's not that individual who in one moment of time, one instant of time, can measure, bring up enough courage out of his heart to say, "I believe he's the Son of God." It's that individual who's been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and burning in their heart is that fire they had at one time. You remember that joy? Before services tonight, those who I talked to were not aware of what I was doing. I was preparing for this part of my sermon. And so I asked Henry Williams, "How long have you been a Christian?" And he told me the town he was baptized. And he told me where it was and who did the baptizing. And he told me the age when all of that happened. As Terry West. "How long have you been in the church?" And he told of that time whenever shortly after he was baptized, he was 14, 15 years of age, and somebody was up leading singing who couldn't lead singing at all. And Terry just started singing a little bit louder, and the song leader sat down and said, "Young man, come up here. You're going to lead this singing." You know that joy. And I talked to Bill Ingram. 70 plus years. "Bill, tell me about your baptism." And I could talk to those of you who've been in the kingdom of God for 6 months and ask you, "Do you remember when you were baptized?" But recognize that it's a marathon. It's a lifetime of battle. It would be great if we could all be just like that, the seed that's planted in our heart. It's like the stony ground. At least it springs up immediately. Do you know what happens to stony ground faith? It's extinguished when trials come and hard times come. The sun comes out, the sun of adversity, and it withers. Folks, it takes a long time to produce a crop. And that's us. But sometimes the fire goes out simply because we do not recognize that it is a long flight. It's rather interesting that in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, purity of heart, poverty of spirit, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being meek, and all of the attributes that are there, when he gets to the end of it, he said, "And blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely." Jeremiah. So they did to the prophets. And tradition says that Isaiah, the messianic prophet, was laid on a table and they took a saw and literally sawed him in half. So persecuted they the prophets were with, that were before you. And he looked to those apostles who were about to go on the commission to carry the gospel to all the world. And he says, you'll be hated. And then he says, rejoice. When adversity comes in your life, and whenever there's time that would discourage many individuals, and that times that do discourage those who are weaker in faith and they turn their back and walk away from the Lord, instead of giving up, rejoice. Why? Because you are sharing in what the prophet shared. And the blood of the prophets and the adversity they had, added to that is the adversity that we have in our own lives. Paul describes it this way, that if I die, my death will just simply be filling up the cup of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Because you see, God's people have always suffered. It's important for us to recognize that. Heaven is a rest place for Christians who are tired. A man that's been sleeping 23 hours, you don't necessarily say to him, let's go get some rest. But here's that individual that's toiled throughout all of the day. And that's why the Bible says there therefore remains a rest for the people of God. Heaven is a race. And there are awards that are given to those who stand on the podium at the end of the race. I've run the race, Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord will give me in that day. There will be adversity. But if you and I will recognize the very nature of the race, heaven is a banquet for those victorious soldiers. It's the ticker tape parade of the saints of God. You know what a forerunner is, don't you? John the Baptist, forerunner of Jesus. And John the Baptist, before Jesus ever came onto the scene, John the Baptist said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. You know what Hebrews chapter 6 says? Hebrews chapter 6 says there's another forerunner and his name is Jesus. And where's he? He's beyond the veil. He is within that heavenly veil. He's in the very throne room, the most holiest of places. He's in heaven itself. What's he doing there? He's our forerunner. What's he saying? He's saying, the saints are on their way. God, rekindle this fire in my heart. It's ours. And what you and I must ever keep in mind is that he is our forerunner. Here's the picture. Hebrews 12:1, run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. You know why you got discouraged? Because like Peter, when the storms were there, while he was walking on the water, he put his eyes on the storms and not on Jesus. And so the Bible says, we run with endurance, we run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, how you like dying on a cross? I hate the shame that I'm going through. I hate the shame that I, the creator of the world, am being treated like some wild, idiotic animal worthy of all death. I despise that. But I endure it because I kept my eyes on the joys that lie before me. You want to have the fire within you? Keep your eyes on Jesus. What extinguishes that fire? We've talked about the fact that the fire is kindled. Do you remember how it was kindled from Pentecost to your own Pentecost when you obeyed the gospel? You remember that joy, do you not? We can get tired, but what causes it? Obviously, losing sight of the goal. Heaven is mine. Heaven is mine. Could I say a word about something that's a part of our world? It was probably not a part of the first century world. And that is those races where there are handicapped children with special needs. And they're only going to run 30 yards, maybe. And they all line up, and many of them can barely walk at all. And there they are, and the gun goes off, and they start running. And some of them fall, and sometimes others will stop and help. And you've seen those videos, have you not, where they stop and help and pick them up, run that race. And standing down at that finish line is a mother and a father that's looking at one special person, and that special person is that son. It's that daughter. And it doesn't make any difference how many times they stumble. They keep getting up. And mom and dad are standing down there cheering them on, saying, "Don't you dare, come on, come on, come this way. Finish the race." The angels of heaven look, and they see one sinner that repents, and there's joy in among the angels when one sinner repents. Bible, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Not only are the angels rejoicing, but in that presence, in their presence, who's that? That's deity. And here we are running the race, and there's God Himself, there's Jesus, our Savior, saying, "Don't give up. You may stumble. Relight the fire. Here's the goal." And perhaps the most precious words in the Bible: inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. You see, if we could recognize the treasure that has been given to us, the treasure of truth, but the treasure of being a part of a divine institution God has put on this earth. He so loved the world, He gave His Son. But when that Son came to bring about salvation, how did He bring it about? And their answer is through the church. Committed under the church is the work of reconciliation. Committed under the church is the word of reconciliation. It's the plan of God from all eternity that there be those individuals, that group of individuals redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who stand in the place of Christ, as noted before, saying to the world, "Be ye reconciled to God." That is a divine institution. The church is not another denomination. Denominations are organizations started by some man or by some movement that has human origin based upon the wisdom of some religious leader. But there is that divine institution of Jesus Christ that He fulfilled His promise when He said, "I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Daniel says it's an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that everlasting eternal kingdom, that divine institution, the church of Jesus Christ, not some religious body started by some man or by some movement or by some orator who's able to persuade a lot of people to follow him and do it his way. There are those
redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who said, I'm a part of God's eternal divine plan. I am a part of the divine church Jesus put on this earth. Young people, let me build within your heart an understanding that will almost ensure you'll go to heaven. And that is that you are a part of God's eternal purpose, divine purpose, and He's put you as a member of the divine workings of God on this earth. Is God working on this earth? Oh, absolutely. And it's divine. But not just young people. Those of us who've been in the church for so many years. What extinguishes the flame? Losing sight of the goal. What extinguishes the flame? Forgetting the divine nature of the New Testament church. What'll extinguish the flame? Luke chapter 8 and that parable of the sower. Cares and riches and pleasures extinguishes the flame. Great and good soil that has within it thorns is great soil, but it's got thorns in it. And Jesus says, you implies beware of cares, getting so wrapped up in this world that we forget the real battle. No soldier on duty entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who called him to be a soldier. Anxieties about this life, focusing on things that really don't matter that much one way or the other. Cares, riches. How hard it is that those that trust in riches, how hard it is for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And pleasure. Take the spiritual side of you and diminish its place in your life, and let the fleshly side of you scream out, give me every pleasure and every joy this world can bring to me, and it will choke the Word of God out of your life, and you'll lose it. What extinguishes the flame? Because I get tired. You know what that calls on us to do? Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us labor. Let us labor. How do we rekindle it? Let that Word of God be like a burning coal within us. You want to understand what can happen to people in the church, great congregations? Look at the church at Ephesus. You know who established the church, do you not? Acts chapter 19, early in the beginning of that church, Paul is there. And there are those disciples, there are those who are disciples of John, who evidently may be the very first ones who became Christians, who were permanently living in that place. They had great preaching. You know who preached at Ephesus? The Apostle Paul. Do you know Paul preached at Ephesus 3 years longer at Ephesus than any other place? Had a great eldership. Paul calls those Ephesians elders, and they come to listen to Paul, and Paul says, take heed to yourself. No, I know after my departure grievous wolves will enter in among you, and of your own self some will arise. But you just watch out. And after that, they had Timothy as a preacher who was there.
So many great things happened to that church. But the last letter written to them is not the book of Ephesians. It's the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And the Lord writes to that church at Ephesus, and they had taken to the heart what Paul had charged those elders about, being beware of false teachers. And Paul says, Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 commends that Ephesians church because they had tried those individuals who said they were apostles and had found them false. And they hated those who held to the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. And he says, and I hate that doctrine too. But nevertheless, I have something against you. What's happened? The fire's dwindling. The fire's going out. Because he said, you've left your first love. They had not left the Lord. They were still defenders of the faith. They were still the people of God. They were still the Lord's church in Ephesus. But the Lord says, you've lost that first love. What's that about? The most vivid illustration I know of this was when I was preaching in Tullahoma, Tennessee, just come back from the 7 years in New Zealand. Actually, it's before I even went to New Zealand. That same congregation. And a brother there by the name of the letter R, the letter T. They did not name him. They named him R.T. Last name was Rivers. Bit of trivia, had a brother, and his brother's name was E.E. Rivers. Never heard of that. But R.T. was teaching this class on the book of Revelation. And he says, let me see if I can tell you what it means to leave your first love. He said, you know my wife. Said, on our honeymoon, we're out walking one night. It was cool. And I said, Carlene, are you cold? He said, I took my jacket off and I wrapped that jacket around her and I put my arm around her and kept her warm. There's the tenderness of love at the first. And then R.T. said, Carlene and I have been married 30 plus years or more. And if we were out walking tonight and she's cold, and she doesn't have a coat, I'd say, woman, what's wrong with you? Any woman with half a brain would bring a coat out here. That's the difference. You remember the love you had when you were baptized? You remember the joy you had when you came out of that watery grave of baptism? You remember the resolve you had to serve God? You remember studying your Bible? You remember reading your Bible? You remember trying to talk to other people? You remember trying to reach out and invite other people? Do you remember the attitude you had toward Jesus and how you really loved Him with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength? But sometimes years go by and that tender relationship and the tenderness of our heart that made us express in our lives in manifold ways the great love that we have for Jesus, it's not there anymore. Jesus, tell me what you told the church at Ephesus that would rekindle that fire. He says, remember what it used to be like. That's where it starts. That fire I once had that I need to be rekindled, I need to remember what it's like and how satisfying and good and wonderful it was at that time in our lives. And then he says, you want to get back to your first love? Repent. Repentance is a conscious decision that you make. We talk about an individual wanting to become a child of God, and we say to that individual who needs to become a child of God, repent. What does that mean? It means make up your mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. And the Lord told the church at Ephesus, church at Ephesus, it's left your false love, repent. And to those of us in those times in our life, whenever we felt like the fire is gone out, make a conscious decision. I'm going to do something about this fire that used to be there, that's not there anymore. And so he says, repent and do your first works. Go back and get active in the church like you were when you first became a child of God. You want to rekindle the fire? Open that book like you did after you'd obeyed the gospel. Read the Bible and find the joy and find those Bible problems and those Bible questions and making notes and in notes in your Bible and things of that nature, and then get involved in going out and telling others and trying to lead others and working every day of your life at whatever sin you've got in your life to get that sin out of my life. Do that once again. And the results? Rekindle fire in our souls. God help us to rekindle that fire. Is it possible that you're here tonight and you've never had that first joy? You've never done those first works? Is it possible that there are those here tonight who need to do what they did on the day of Pentecost when they heard and believed that Jesus were the Son of God, were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins? But before you can be baptized, you got to know that you believe. And so Philip says to the man who said, here's water, can I be baptized? And you look and here's our baptistry and you say, is there water there? Can I be baptized? And what Philip said to that man, we say tonight, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And the man said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when you became a child of God, somebody asked you that question, did they not? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And then you'd be baptized. And a fire will burn in your soul, the fire of salvation. If you haven't done that, we're about to sing a song to encourage you to do that. But may I call upon every one of you not to come forward tonight as a child of God saying, I want to do better. Will you right now, sitting where you are, repent and say to the God of heaven, I'm going to get back where I was in the love that I had for Jesus and the way I manifested that love when I had that first love. If you've fallen away from the Lord and need to return, you can come down these aisles and the church could pray for you. But will you not right now in your heart saying, I'm going to leave this place tonight with a determination to rekindle my fire in serving the Lord. If we can help you, won't you let it be known how we can do it by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?